I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm a little froggy this morning. I think I caught what my son Caleb and John had this week. But ask an interest in your prayers this morning as I stand before you for a little while. The thoughts I have on my mind this morning come from Colossians 4 and 6. If you turn your Bibles, Colossians 4 and 6, we'll read that says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Now, from a practical sense, and if we didn't take that to a spiritual connotation, this old world might have a good laugh at that. Say, this old brother thinks we ought to just go out there and dump salt on our tongues every once in a while. We know that's not what this means. Somebody asked me one time, it's like, "Brother Joe, you believe in a literal translation of the Bible?" I said, "Well, I believe the things that are literal or that should be taken literal are literal, and the things that are figurative should be figurative." This is in a spiritual sense. We're not to salt our tongues with regular salt, but I want to talk a little bit a while about what we should season our tongues with, this spiritual salt that's mentioned here in Colossians 4 and 6. If we consider the characteristics of salt, especially in the ancient times, here in the biblical times, what it was used for, it was used as a preservative. It was used to preserve meat, and it was also used as an antiseptic to put in wounds, to cleanse, to wash, to kill those things that are bad. If you think about the way salt preserves, that's what it does. It kills that bacteria and stuff that would break down things, so that it doesn't break down, so that it doesn't decay, so that it doesn't corrupt. We're to season our tongues with salt so that it wouldn't be full of corruption, that it wouldn't be full of decay from a spiritual sense. To get a better understanding of what this salt is talking about, I'd like to turn back. We'll go to Numbers chapter 18 and verse 19. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, we find a use for salt as it was in the Old Testament. Numbers 18 and 19, it says, "All the heave offerings, the offerings that were offered to the Lord of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee." Now, you understand that most of these offerings that were offered up in the Old Testament, they had to be salted first. And it says here that it is a covenant of salt. It's a statute forever. Now, when you think about the use of salt, it's a preservative. It's to keep it from corrupting. It's to keep it from changing. When you consider that the covenant of God was considered a covenant of salt, that means it was unchanging. Our God is unchanging. His word doesn't change. He doesn't change. He doesn't lie. His covenant always stands true. And when he makes a promise, it is forever. That's the connotation here of salt. Salt keeps things from corrupting. God's word does not corrupt. It does not change. The promise of God from this day, back in the Old Testament, to today, is just as true as it was then as it is now. And he had made that promise. So when we think about the covenant, these are the words of God, the truth of God. You think about the word of God. This Bible tells me that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. When we think of how our speech is to be seasoned with salt, our speech is supposed to be uncorruptible, undefiled. If our speech as a natural man or as a man, it's going to be uncorrupted and undefiled, then it's got to be seasoned something with uncorruptible. God's word is uncorruptible. Child of God, over here in Colossians, I want you to know this was not addressed to an unregenerate sinner, to an unborn again child of God. This was addressed to the church at Colossae. This is an instruction to the church of God. And the instruction that was given to these children are still instructions that we should be following. Our speech should be seasoned with salt. Our speech should reflect the word of God. How are we going to season our speech with the salt, with the word of God? Well, you got to spend some time reading it. So you got to start spend some time putting that word in your mouth instead of what this old world puts in our mouths. You got to spend some time understanding what the word of God is, what his promises are. If we turn back to Colossians 4 and 6, it says that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, I find this verbiage very similar to another verse that we find over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Child of God, once you've been born again and been able to see the scriptures and the riches of his graces and mercy, how do we know? How do we know what our hope is? How do we grow in that hope? We spend time in his word. We put that into our hearts. The more we know about his word, the more we know about his promises. The more we know about his promises and his covenants, the more we know about the hope that we have in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be seasoning ourselves with the truth of the gospel, the word, that we might preserve ourselves. Not to heaven and immortal glory, but in this life, that we might preserve our joy. That we may preserve the hope that we have in Christ Jesus within ourselves. Salt, it's good. See, it preserves. It puts those things that are incorruptible. We season our tongues and we make it incorruptible, unchangeable. See, our words are going to change. But if we're putting God's word in, then his words don't change. And this is the instruction that we have, that our words should be as consistent as God's words are. You know, if I look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 20, Apostle Paul instructs us that our words should be yea and yea, not yea and nay, but yea and amen, just as God's words are yea and amen. We're not supposed to say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Our tongues, our speech, the things we talk about, should be seasoned with salt and the truth of the gospel. The child of God, what we speak and what we do should reflect God our Father in the things and the covenants and the commandments that he's given us to do. That we might be preserved and whole. That we might have joy in this life. That the joy and the hope of our salvation might be preserved within our hearts. Whether we do that or don't, it's not going to take away the fact that Jesus Christ has preserved us to heaven and immortal glory. But I tell you what, we can be robbed of the hope and the joy we have in this life if we don't season our speech and season our hearts with the truth and the gospel of the Lord. And that's the instruction that we've been given in Colossians, that we should do those things. But not only that, brethren. I want you to think about something else here. We could consider something else if we turn to Matthew chapter 5. And this is coming from what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5. We'll start in verse 12. It says, rejoice. Now, I'd also bring your attention to the fact that this speech, this Sermon on the Mount is directed to his disciples. There's a multitude there, but it says he addresses, in the first verses, it says he addresses his disciples, those that are followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12, it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is what we want to notice in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Child of God, not only are we to season our speech with salt, we're supposed to be reflective. Our actions and our speech is supposed to reflect the God that we serve. But not only our speech, but you. You are the salt of the earth. Every child of God is the salt of the earth. You think about what salt does. You know, there's a lot of unsavory. That means not salty. There's a lot of unsavory things in this whole earth. You think about that for a minute. You are the salt of the earth. If there's anything that, about this earth that tastes good to God our Father, it's you. And if it weren't for you, then I don't think this whole earth would be here. See, you are also the preservative of this earth. As long as there's children of God here, God is going to preserve this old earth. But the very last day that the last child of God is born again, I want you to know he's coming back and he's going to take us up. And I believe I could say that. I believe this old earth won't stay there, because the day that he takes his children home, it says he's going to melt this place with fervent heat. Only thing that tastes good and is salty about this old earth to our God, our Father, is you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the preservative of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? See, child of God, is salt of the earth. You're supposed to be giving off those qualities of salt. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be speaking those things of truth and uncorruptibleness. We're supposed to be giving the salt in the earth. We're supposed to be putting those qualities forth. When we season our tongues with salt, we're supposed to be giving that forth. A piece of salt that doesn't give forth that quality isn't worth a lot of good, is it? It says, the salt that lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. So we're supposed to have our speech seasoned with salt. Our actions are supposed to be seasoned with salt. We're supposed to be putting those qualities forth in our life. You know, when I think about being the salt of the earth, you know, I can't help but think of that from a chef's standpoint. If they had to give me one seasoning, they made me choose. Like, Brother Joe, we ain't going to have nothing else. You get to choose one seasoning. What would it be that you would take with you? It would be salt, brethren. There's a lot of things that don't taste good without salt. But if you give it salt, it'll taste good. A steak with just salt on it still tastes good. Some butter beans with salt on it still tastes good. I can do without pepper and cumin and all that other stuff. But you just give me salt and I'll be all right. I tell you what, in our churches and in our lives, the only thing you need, the only instruction you need to live a good life, to have a good church life, is the Word of God. It's this salt that He's given us. All we need is salt. It's good. Once you put that into your hearts, you're supposed to be giving off those qualities of salt. You know, you think about salt. How much salt does it take to season something? You know, if I get a 16-ounce steak and I put 16 ounces of salt on it, that's a lot, isn't it? See, it don't take much salt to season. You know, it only takes a few of God's children to make a difference in this whole world. It don't take much. Just a few. That's the power of salt. See, we got the power of our Lord and Savior in us. As long as He's on our side, we got enough. As long as we got the salt, we got enough. Ye are the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be giving those qualities off. See, every little grain of salt God has that power within him. Because you've got the power of God within you. And once we've seasoned ourselves with salt, and we're not unsavory, we're using our savor, and we're putting it out in this life, then we're also able to salt to others. It only takes one grain of salt to make a difference. It don't take much. You know, there's not many. I would say there's not many of us here. You know, from a natural sense, you know, if we were going by numbers, some would say, this whole world would probably say that Union Church ain't doing too good. Now, we've got a lot more than a lot of Primitive Baptist churches, I could tell you that. I'm not saying that to discourage you. But if the only good we did was in the church, well, we wouldn't affect many lives, would we? We're supposed to be using that savor outside of the church. See, this building is just a building. You are the church. And once we go out into this world, we're supposed to be giving off that savor and salting this earth and being a light. And that's later in here, it goes on to talk about our light. It's in the same sense. We're supposed to be giving off those qualities of salt. You know, this week, and it doesn't take much. Once you've seasoned your speech and your life with this salt of the gospel, with the truth, then you're supposed to share it. You know, I decided to coach my son's baseball team this year. And a lot of times I'll say, man, I regretted it. Man, I didn't know what I was doing. I never coached a baseball team. But one thing happened last week that told me I did it for the right reasons. And this is not to glorify myself, but to glorify God. But I just want to give you an example of how we're supposed to be using that salt and what we've been given and putting it out there and salting those that we come in contact with. See, because if the only time we use that salt is in the church, well, we're not affecting this old earth. We're supposed to be taking the salt that we gather here, and we're supposed to be salting the earth and putting off those qualities while we live. I had a little boy named Charlie that plays for me, and he's a good ball player. And before every game, I try to gather up my team. And if there's one thing they were going to learn from Joe Myers, it might not be good baseball. I did the best I could, but you know what? I just didn't know how to coach. But I said, every time we come to play a game, we're going to give thanks to God our Father. We're going to take off our hats. We're going to bow. We're going to pray for health. We're going to pray for safety. We're going to pray for good sportsmanship. And we're going to thank God that these children are healthy enough to play and not sitting on a hospital bed in Children's Hospital in New Orleans. I wanted them to know it was a blessing to be out there on that field. Whether we win or lose, it was a blessing. And sometimes we would pray, and I knew a lot of these children knew the Lord's Prayer that's in Matthew. So sometimes we would say the Lord's Prayer. And one day, a little boy named Charlie, after we had said the Lord's Prayer, we got in the dugout. Charlie said, Coach, I don't get to go to church much. The only time I get to go is when my mama brings me. He said, I don't know the Lord's Prayer. And I don't get to go to church. Now, I would say Charlie probably wants to go to church. I looked at Charlie. I said, that's all right, Charlie. I said, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not a God of buildings. He says, you, Charlie, you are the temple of God. Jesus dwells within your heart. Wherever you go, Charlie, Jesus is with you. I didn't want Charlie to feel bad just because his parents had neglected to bring him to church. It was obvious to me that Charlie had the love of God in his heart. And God put me there in that moment to bring comfort to one of his little children, one of his little sheep. And that's just a small instance. We all have that ability to be salt in this earth. And you know, I didn't think nothing about it, but it must have meant something to Charlie. Because about 2-3 days later, his mama, Nicole, texted me. And she said, Coach, I want to thank you. Charlie told me what you said. He said, we don't go to church much. But what you said was lovely. I appreciate you telling Charlie that Jesus lives in his heart. He said, that was very good of you. And meant a lot to Charlie. And I told Nicole, I said, well, that wasn't my words. That was my God's words. That was Jesus' words. Because y'all have heard me say it again, and y'all are going to get sick of me quoting these verses. But see, I had done seen in Charlie the effects of the Spirit of God. I saw how he interacted with his teammates. I saw the love and the sportsmanship that he showed one another. That little boy Tucker that I told you about, that was autistic. I seen him fall down and Charlie would run over and pick him up. See, it was evident to me that Charlie already had the fruits of the Spirit inside of him. He already had love. He already had joy. I saw this boy. And see, I knew by that he had the Spirit of him. And that's why I could tell Charlie that Jesus was in his heart. Because in Galatians 4 and 6, it says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But see, because I was seasoned with the salt of the word, see, I could pass it on to Charlie. But if we ain't got salt, children, we can't pass it on. It is our duty as God's children. We are instructed to take the salt that we have been salted on and pass it on. Because if we're not giving off the qualities of salt, what good is it? What good is it to be salted if we've lost our savor? I thank you, good on our attention.